Budget, Regent Porter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will direct your attention to page 5 of the agenda, section 2.4, the approval of personnel actions. Do you want to make some comments, and then we'll hear
from the Regent Mentor? I believe Dr. Mentor wanted to raise a question regarding the personnel actions.
Okay.
Thank you, Vice President Bean. My question was, it's on page 26 of your agenda about completed faculty personnel actions from November to February. And there's a large block of market equity adjustments for the School of Nursing, which I'm great with because I always want our faculty to be paid at market rate so that we remain competitive. But several of them are over $5,000, and the board policy requires there needs to be an explanation for any salary increase over $5,000. So I just wanted to give you the opportunity to make that public record.
It was an oversight on that, treating market equity adjustments as a pool, and we'll make sure that we review our actions, but so that you are provided with an explanation now. Provost Emsley will give a little bit of background for the board on these market adjustments for nursing.
Great.
Thank you, Ed. Yes, at some point about a year and a half ago, I believe, we ran a study relative to our new benchmark institutions, and we identified particular categories of faculty whose salaries were conspicuously low relative to those benchmarks. And the most outstanding example was, in fact, our nursing faculty. I believe they were in the 70th percentile relative to benchmark median. And so together with the dean and the school director, we put together this list of adjustments. We allocated dollars from the annual staffing plan to do this. And at that time, we did think, in fact, some of those were going to be over $5,000. At that time, we assumed that the explanation of them being an adjustment would suffice, but we will be happy to specifically single out those. But the rationale for those over $5,000 is the same rationale those for under 5,000. We will be carrying out a similar exercise this year of much broader scope, again, with the goal of addressing our faculty whose compensation is low relative to our benchmark institutions.
Thanks so much.
John? I believe that this did, I had a session for the DNP accreditation process, and that was one topic that they did mention. And I was able to say that resources had been identified for market
equity. Okay, excellent.
Thank you for that comment. But this is something that was long, long overdue. And as the provost mentioned, if the median average of faculty is for $50,000, and they're at the 70th percentile level, they're only making $35,000. And we're trying to expand at the same time the DSN program and double it. They're trying to track down competent, qualified nurses. And it was so far below. I really applaud Provost taking this forward because it's something that just happened over time. It's not that it's many years of not
one
getting
drop at a time creates a big waterfall.
Yes, and there's a time when most of the nurses had master's degrees in teaching and was really hard getting into research, getting the merit over. So you compound it for 20, 25 years or so. They just kept trickling down. It's just amazing how low. And we've heard from the accrediting bodies. And just, and something that's been discussed before. It wasn't the first time I've discussed this within staffing plans, within other issues. But this is something that really helped the morale of our faculty. It's helping us recruit. We had expanded to 80 BSN students a semester. We could not find the faculty in the competitive marketplace. It wouldn't happen. And so it's just a wonderful thing we have to move it up to the 73rd percentile to the 88th, but still it's a big jump forward. It's really, thank you, Provost Emsley, for being on board and addressing it, and thank you for supporting the allocation of funds in that fashion.
That's great. And I think that what you suggest going forward of treating of, if you have a block within a department that has a market equity adjustment for something over $5,000,
I think you could probably do that as a group explanation, maybe denoted by X department on the explanation.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments? I'll entertain a motion to approve the faculty and staff personnel actions as published. I'll second that. Motion made and second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Passes unanimously.
Mr. Porter, if I can point out a change from the Finance and Budget Committee that I had previously informed the committee that we would be doing this. On page 11 of your agenda materials, this is the third quarter statement of revenues and expenditures, and I believe at the time that the committee met, a little timing issue, you were only given second quarter. Okay. We said we would have it available for this meeting. If there's any questions, I don't have any additional comments to point out. In regard to the flow of revenue and expenditures, it parallels normal trends at this point.
Okay. We need a motion to approve this as presented.
What you did at the beginning already covered it.
Since the information that was presented at the committee meeting is added now, I would entertain a motion to accept this as amended and reported today on page 11. Your motion to approve.
I make a motion that we accept it.
Okay. Second. Are there any questions or comments other than Ms. Meade's comments so far?
Nothing else remarkable except for just staying on trend for usual for the year.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All in favor of the acceptance motion? Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. And then we have two information items.
Yes, the first information item is to let you know that we've talked before, there are two important variables in developing the next year's fiscal budget. What is your state, the most important ones for us, is that what is your state appropriation and what is going to be your tuition and fees. So we have a biennial budget. We know what our state appropriation is for next year. It's no increase. Last week, the Council on Post-Secondary Education took action to approve the maximum tuition rate parameter, and that allows us now to proceed into budget development, making some tough decisions, given that we had already had a financial model of a balanced budget, assuming a different tuition rate increase that was actually approved. So we will be bringing back to you a budget for approval going through, I believe, through committee on June 21st. President Ransdell, is there something else that you wanted to share with the board on that regard?
Yes, I'll be brief. I spoke at last week's Council on Post-Secondary Education meeting about the process that our campus has followed with regard to achieving consensus on a balanced budget that would require a 5% tuition increase. And it was a most constructive and insightful dialogue that I had with the council. But the action was taken to cap tuition increases at 3%, and we will move forward in that regard. The presidents do have important discussions this week as we continue to, all of us, to wrestle with the budget balancing matters. And I want to compliment our campus, led by Vice President Mead, in how we've been able to address our budget reductions in a thoughtful way and in a timely manner. And we're in a position to have a balanced budget this year without budget reductions and without personnel impact. Several of the campuses are really fighting through some major budget problems and challenges, perhaps by deferring the inevitable and having to address it before the biennium ends. And they're having some self-imposed budget reduction strategies, and some campuses are really struggling with achieving a balanced budget by the end of this biennium. So I like where we're positioned. Yes, we do have a challenge in the weeks ahead to bring a balanced budget to you in June, and we will do that. I really want to commend the vice presidents for their work just in recent days to bring concepts and ideas forward. We're addressing a whole range of options and possibilities. And just so you're aware, we will, at this juncture, I'm confident that we will not simply do an across-the-board reduction to make up the deficit that we now have to face. That's one point. I really believe we're beyond the point as a campus where simply spreading the cut across all divisions is either prudent or practical. We have some operating units that are down to very, very lean operating capacity, mostly personnel. You saw the presentation I made to this board at the Finance Committee meeting a few weeks ago. So we do not intend to do across-the-board cutting. We will be very selective, and we are measuring programs that we simply are going to have to move forward with a lesser degree of focus, or perhaps not at all in some cases. I don't know the extent to which personnel will be affected, but I think it is fair to say that there will likely be impact on personnel. We will do our very best to keep that to a minimum, but I think that is inevitable given this dynamic. The third point I'd want to make to the board is we will likely address the entire budget process, given this exercise that we're currently engaged in, and to include looking at recurring expenses that are being financed with non-recurring dollars. And we have a pretty good list of those, and just as we built the current year's 2% salary increase into the base budget, we will likely look at the entire budget and build as much into the base budget of expenses that we're dedicated to continuing, but we have to build it into our base budget. And now that we're in this budget reduction scenario, I look at the total context and bring to you as clean, it'll be a balanced budget, but as clean a budget as we can possibly put together, so that going into the 2014-16 biennium, will be in the best possible position to do constructive, positive things at that time without being encumbered by previous obligations. So it's a serious process in which we're currently engaged, but we are approaching it thoughtfully and thoroughly, and we will we'll be having some discussions going forward, and I'll keep this board briefed as much as we possibly can, while still understanding the delicate nature of what we're discussing and the impact it will have on our campus.
Ms. Mead, in round numbers, what is the budget deficit we're looking at?
It's around $2.5 million.
I don't know exactly how the agency bond process works, but will there be, if we issue the agency bonds for the Honors College International Center, will there be a debt service next year?
Yes, there'll be one debt service payment next year after we issue those bonds.
Do you have any idea of how much that would be?
I, you know, again, not knowing what the interest rates are going to be, I'm not going to guess at this point. Remember, the bonds that we sell are going to finish the funding for the DUC renovation and the Honors International Building, both of which have dedicated revenue streams to cover the anticipated debt. President Ransdell, if I could add one other comment. It's going to be unfortunate between now and the time that you meet to approve our budget that you'll hear other press announcements about other budgets across the Commonwealth. And while we would really like to do more for compensation, you know that's your priority, you know it's our priority, you're going to hear some institutions that are, in fact, going to have some salary increases next year. But don't lose sight that that's a one-year perspective. When President Ransdell presented data to you the last time, we've shown that for his entire tenure as president that we have had a salary increase. And that has not been the case for many institutions. So when you know, don't misunderstand. It's so easy for someone to conclude, well, you had a 3% increase. We had a 3% increase, which is the maximum tuition parameter approved by the CPE. But how come they have a salary increase and we need to wait another year? Each institution is so different in how they've made their decisions, and that you can't necessarily draw that direct correlation to the tuition increase and someone's ability to have a salary increase in that given year.
Well, you can draw a direct correlation to the self-imposed budget reduction process in which those campuses are currently engaged, and the significant job loss and the challenges of that those campuses are facing with those budget reductions. Self-imposed budget reductions this year because, as you all know, in the second year of the biennium, we're not having our budget reduced by state government. I want to go on and share with you some information that I gave to the Council on Post-Secondary Education last week because I think it's pertinent to the challenge that we have. And I just selected some data sets that I thought would be helpful for CPE to understand what we are dealing with. And so I just selected four things that I thought was pertinent to the conversation. First of all, the forced KERS-KTRS rate increases since the recessionary environment began in 2008. And you can see how our budget was impacted by retirement system rate increases beyond our control over that period of time and the cumulative effect of those items in the same period of time that we were having some $14 million cut from our budget in state funding. So that's that not only were we having our budget cut, but we were having forced cost increases in these regards. The second one is mandated but unfunded tuition waivers. We're up now over $4.5 million in our budget to pay for mandated tuition waivers that state government authorizes, puts into legislation, and we have no choice but to pay those expenses for students that come to us because of these waivers, and we have to pay the cost. And you can see how that, since 2008, how that the cost of those waivers has gone from $2.9 million to $4.6 million in our budget alone. And that's becoming an increasingly difficult matter for us to pay for these state-mandated tuition waivers. The four-year tuition increase comparisons, I thought it might be helpful for you to also see how the last 4 years of tuition increases compares to University of Kentucky and University of Louisville, both in what we were proposing and what ended up being enacted upon, seen here as the proposed. And then finally, how we have been able to strengthen academic quality, continue to build our faculty, continue to grow our full-time faculty, and you can see the growth in full-time faculty in this same recessionary environment and the reduction in part-time faculty over that period of time. Finally, in that last column, our faculty-student ratio over that period of time. Those are very important data sets that we've been able to sustain while reducing our budget and absorbing costs that have been forced upon us. And perhaps that's what I'm most proud of in our academic community, is continuing to build our full-time faculty, reducing our part-time faculty, and keeping our faculty-student ratio at what I think is a impressively low level, particularly in this difficult financial environment. So that speaks to our priorities, speaks to our focus, and I want to commend Provost Emsley and our deans for continuing to keep this as a high priority in our academic community. That's all.
Thank you, President Ransom. Thank you, Vice President Meade. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, that concludes the
Mr. Porter, we have one more information item.
Oh, the internal audit. Okay.
We have Bailey Jordan. I believe all of you have met him previously here from Brant Thornton to present the first quarter internal audit report. The process has gone quite well, and I can publicly tell you that this while everyone knows the importance of internal audit, and we will be proceeding this summer with hiring a director, this has been a very good opportunity for us to have a fresh perspective on internal audit from his firm and his staff. So I'll turn it over to you for the first quarter report.
Okay. Thank you, and good morning. You should have a separate handout. I will also present this on the screen. But I want to take you through an internal audit update, as Ann mentioned. So I want to refresh your memory on our goals for fiscal year 13, where we are right now, and next steps. So this is a slide that you would have seen in the past back in December. This is the goal for this fiscal year. The first three bullets have been completed. And the fourth and fifth, we have been executing audits in accordance with the Institute of Internal Auditors International Standards, and we have been issuing reports in the process or protocols you see outlined here, as well as the quarterly updates. The last bullet will be completed in the May-June timeframe. We'll build out the charter and identify a director. This, again, should be a slide you've seen in the past. In December, this is the actual list of projects that we plan to execute by the end of the fiscal year. The first six have been completed, and we're going to go through these one by one, and then we'll discuss the other projects that you see at the bottom of the page. So let's talk about, the audits that we've completed. The first was an agreed-upon procedures report that is issued by Crowe Horvath. It's an NCAA requirement, and Crowe looks to us as the internal audit function to do some work on their behalf that they use in completing this agreed-upon procedures report. But basically, we're looking at the support for the ticketed revenue for the events you see here, or the sports that you see here. So we did reconcile the Ticketmaster to the Banner General Ledger system and reviewed supporting documentation and presented a report that was then passed along to Crowe Horvath, and there were no major findings. The second is, again, something that deals with financial aid loans that WKU is compensated for their administration of these loan programs. So finance and administration prepared the report, internal audit reviewed it, and there were no major findings. Next would be, again, another requirement by the NCAA. It's referred to as a football ticket reconciliation. So, again, internal audit reviewed the paid attendance summaries and tied these to the Ticketmaster and other supporting documentation. And we did confirm that the average paid attendance did exceed 15,000 over the number of home games played in a given season. The requirement is at least once every 2 years you exceed that number, and the university did exceed that number, so they are in compliance with the NCAA requirements. Next, is we performed a review of a contract with IMG, formerly Host of Communications. We actually have some detailed findings on pages 9 and 10 that we'll go through in a moment, so I'll defer any comment until we get to those pages. Then also, we looked at a calculation of the special license plates. This relates to funds that are collected related to the collegiate WKU collegiate plates. Again, we looked at receipts and disbursements, looked at clerical accuracy, the reasonableness of this particular report, tied it to the banner system, and again, did not have any major findings.
Just for board's information, you may or may not be aware, the license plates that you see, the highway department, the revenue comes back to the institute, $15 for each plate, I believe it is, comes back to the institution. That goes into a scholarship fund. And the revenue from the sale of those license plates that we receive, our portion of that revenue, by statute, must be used for academic scholarships, and we use it for that purpose. And this, in the event that you were unaware, when you see those license plates, there's value in it for us for reasons that go beyond just the marketing of the logo aspect.
We budgeted about $36,000 for scholarships from the license plates.
I mentioned that we had completed six audits, and so this IT infrastructure and operations assessment audit is now moved into the completed bucket. And again, like the IMG audit, would like to spend a little bit more time going through this audit in just a moment. Lastly, I want to note that we've been asked by administration to add an audit to the audit plan for this fiscal year, and that relates to an I-9 compliance review. So we have scoped out this audit and plan to conduct field work. Actually, it's been deferred just slightly. We'll be here the weeks of May 13th and 20th to execute this particular audit. But because of that, we've had to defer two of the projects we had in the original plan, and that would be the procurement card processing and review of the president's T&E. So those will be audits that will be conducted in the summer. But to stay within budget, we moved these two out and moved the I-9 compliance review in the scope for this fiscal year. So I think you should have, and it's not here on the screen because the print is too small, but I did want to go through the IT infrastructure and operations assessment audit. So you should have two pages. You do not have those. Okay. All right. Then I will give you, again, a walkthrough of the scope and objectives, because I do not believe those slides are in this deck up here. But I'll go through the scope, objectives, the overall findings, and then in this case, the administration did have an opportunity to respond to those findings, and I'll touch on those at a very high level. But the scope of this was to review what we refer to as IT general controls. That's around security, change management, and operations. And we looked at three primary systems: Banner, Advance, and Blackboard. So we did not cover systems that were outside of the IT department, like the College Heights Foundation Funding System or the High Performance Computing System for Research and the Academic Credentialing System, but those certainly could be something that we consider in future audits. But overall, I would say that we were very impressed with what we saw. We did really a two-phase project. We came out and did walkthroughs. In other words, we went and interviewed Bob Owen and over 10 of his staff, and just took a walkthrough of what they do manage and put controls in place around security, change management, and operations. And then we came back and as a phase two and actually tested what it is that we learned through the walkthroughs. I'll just give some examples. So when we talk about security, what we're talking about is user access. What's happened if someone is terminated? Has that access also been terminated out of the system? We looked at password protection. And then on the change management side, we looked at how upgrades and patch management's handled. And then on the operations side, we looked at how jobs are scheduled, how backups are done, how disaster recovery planning and testing is conducted. So that just gives you an idea of the scope of what we were looking at. There were a lot of controls we reviewed, and we did have no high findings, so I do want to make that noted. But we did have three medium findings. One was around just updating passwords, a requirement that passwords be updated more frequently. And then on the change management process, we wanted to make sure that, again, as changes are put into production, they're logged, so there's an audit trail. And then lastly, we noticed within the database administration group, they had utilized some generic IDs that we felt could be tightened up with individual IDs. So the bottom line is we did sit down with Bob and his team and reviewed these findings and asked for them to respond to them and provide us with action steps and timing of when they were going to close these three medium findings. And they have done that, and we are satisfied with their response. Two of the three have already been closed and addressed, and the third is in process. So let me pause there. I know that was a mouthful, but it was important to take this particular audit and the IMG one coming up because a large number of our hours and dollars budgeted to internal audit since December have been allocated to these two projects. And there were some findings that we felt was important to take a little bit more time, a little bit deeper dive for your benefit. Any questions on the IT? A
couple of questions. Will you supplement to the board those reports that were left out?
I've given them to Julia. When we have a break, she'll copy them. And if anyone has any questions after reviewing them, Jordan will be back at our June meeting.
Okay.
And we can have a follow-up discussion if there's any more questions.
Second question.
Yes.
Did you look at policies and procedures to confirm the status of those and applicability and whatnot?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Again, we thought overall a very sound IT environment. We were very impressed with what we saw.
Any recommendations going forward for additional review or expansion of the scope of work? Or
would recommend as part of the annual risk assessment that would then therefore drive the internal audit plan for next fiscal year, that certainly information technology is, there's a lot of dollars and a lot of risk. So I would expect, year over year, you will see something in the audit plan related to technology.
Did you conduct any intrusion or penetration assessment?
No, we did not do any attack and fend type work as part of the scope of this audit.
If I can agree, we did have a year and a half ago, we had a separate network security audit, separate from the group did. And they did do that. And mm-hmm. So we implemented, we came out very, very well. And they you might have a little holes on the part. But we have addressed that on the next step. And the only other thing I'd say is we really enjoyed the opportunity to, it's always good to take a look at yourself, make sure you're doing what you need to do. We were glad to hear that we were in good shape. Kind of made us feel good that we were doing. So we appreciate
if there are no other questions on IT, we can move on to IMG. Again, IMG Communications, formerly HOST, provides, as you may know, marketing, advertising, and promotional activities on behalf of the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. For example, radio broadcast for the football games would be an example. And there is a clause in the contract, which is a 10-year contract, that started in July 2007 and runs through June 2017, that there's a right to audit clause in that contract. So for the first time, the university elected to do that, and so we went on site to IMG's facilities. We met with them in advance and put together an information request, reviewed that with them, and then went on site at their location to review. And what we were trying to confirm is that the annual account statements that they issue, we were looking for clerical accuracy, we were looking for reasonableness, and we were tying revenues and expenses back to supporting contracts and other invoices and documentation. And then we also, looked at a calculation whereby there is an opportunity for the university to receive what's referred to as a revenue share option, should it be elected. And what I'm talking about is if net revenues increase by a compounded 10% per year over a three-year period, then the university can opt in to what's referred to as an alternative royalty and possibly receive more money, more fees from IMG than would be in the standard contract. And there's no risk whatsoever to the university exercising that. So we looked to see if that was something that could kick in and the university take advantage of it. And lo and behold, we did find that that was the case. So as one of the recommendations we presented was that WKU notify IMG with their intention to exercise that alternative royalty option starting in this contract year and going forward with the remainder of the contract years under scope. Also, we noticed that IMG should be providing quarterly reports, not just an annual report, and those were not being provided. So we've the university has requested that they do start doing that. This way, you don't if you see some kind of problem or issue, you catch it on a quarterly basis versus waiting to the end of the year. So that was the IMG. Any questions or comments there?
Did you estimate the revenue impact of that finding?
We did, and for the year in review, it was about $170,000. It's a chunk of change that we're working with Todd and Deborah to work with IMG to get those funds.
Well, it's important to note that oftentimes, or a lot of times, internal audit pays for itself. So that's very crucial.
Well, is it reasonable to assume with the increased interest in football that that number may go up?
It should certainly be. But we found that IMG's books and records were
so maybe I should ask Todd to help
very well documented. We didn't find anything that led us to believe that they weren't properly accounting for and keeping documentation that supported the revenue and expenses. And we also, recalculated their calculations, and they were accurate.
Would they have come to us ever and talked about that clause?
I don't believe they had to date.
I can speak to that. And I'd like to begin by thanking Mr. Jordan, the staff, did a tremendous job certainly revealed to us information that we would not have. So the answer to your question is that we would not have. But the positive of this, in addition to the information that Mr. Jordan learned through the audit, it has resulted in currently discussion on the new agreement, which I believe would not have occurred had we not done this audit. So not only was it helpful in near term in terms of the information we received, but it spurred some future discussions, which I believe would be very positive, but will not have occurred. So I appreciate your time.
Okay. So just wanted to cover our budget to actual status. Again, what was budgeted for Grant Thornton's participation, that's the internal audit functions, 120. We've incurred through March roughly $88,000. And based on what's remaining in the budget to complete the I-9 and be back here on June 21st, we think this estimate to complete is reasonable, and we should be able to stay right on budget or slightly under. So really next steps, I mentioned that we'll execute the I-9 audit next month. And then in June, we'll start working on the charter and job description for an internal audit director position. So that concludes the formal report, and we again welcome questions.
Good job.
And you'll have the added audit of academic fees prepared by the June meeting as well.
I think we're planning to scope that out, in fact, today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The other two audits that were deferred, we think, can be done in July?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we will have some one-time funds lapsing in the internal audit budget that will be sufficient to cover that expense. Thank you, Mr. Jordan.
Next on, you can. Concludes finance and budget, and so the next agenda item is tour of the center and lunch. Anybody disagree with that? We will proceed.
So what's this going?
I'm looking for Catherine. Yes. Let me find Catherine. There she is, right on cue.
Well, I like to think so.
This is a beautiful room, the other ballroom as well. But if you notice, all the high-tech stuff comes out of these beautiful ceiling features, and then they disappear.